The following is brought to you courtesy of the No Phony Podcast Network, home of independent awesomeness.
Welcome back to another episode of On the Road with Jim and Casey. Joining me, as always, James Morganti.
That's right.
And joining us today, author and rapper Clifford Gwala Evans. How you doing, man?
Oh, man, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. It's good to see y'all on the road, man, you know?
All right, man. So tell us a little bit about yourself, man. How'd you get into rapping and all that good stuff?
Man, I got into rapping, you know, back in 1989, man. I was definitely born and raised in New Orleans, Louisiana. And I came up in the Seven Wall St. Bernard housing project downtown New Orleans. And I had an uncle, he was a DJ, you know, and that was back then when block parties was really block parties. And he used to play cool raps, man, and cool rappers like LL Cool J, Run DMC, Biz Markie, and more, you know what I mean? So when I seen how the music was making the people react, I wanted to actually be one of those people who make people happy and react in that good way.
Yes.
At that time, I was about 9 years old. Yeah.
Nice. And so you noticed how the music made the people come to life. You know what I mean?
Definitely, man. When you go back and you look at, I agree. When you go back and you look at New Orleans, Louisiana, and definitely being in a Haino housing project, it was really a place that was full of mud. They had great people, but it was a lot of poverty, it was a lot of violence, and it was just a lot of despair. So for the right. See the people reacting the way that none of that was going on, and they smiling, and they dancing, and they laughing, I mean, that was what I've been looking for and searching for my whole life. So I wanted to be a person that gives life to their situation.
So, I always ask people this, what would you do? And obviously it sounds like you're already there and you probably have thought about this in other ways. What would you do whether you're the poorest person living in the deepest level of poverty, homeless, whatever, or the richest king in mansions, women, pounds of women everywhere, and gold? What would you do, whether you're poor, the poorest or the richest ever, regardless of anything? So what would that be for you?
I would definitely love and honor God.
Yes, 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 sir.
I would definitely be a big speaker of his voice and his word.
Yes. I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you.
I would definitely be one who shine light in all the dark places. And whoever was in poverty and they had a good mindset and full of ambition, whether they had the pot to pee in or a window to throw it out, I'd definitely give them a helping hand.
Right. That's beautiful because, like, you know, a lot of people don't know that. And I think that's the most important thing to know as a person, because I'll tell you what, in one way or another, we're all going to be in that situation, whether mentally you're poor or rich, or physically you're poor or rich, or spiritually. Either way, I think everyone needs to know, because I've asked that question to a lot of people. It just came to me a few years back when I was like in my own place in life. And I was like, no, I'm just going to go to God no matter what. And a lot of people are like, well, you know, I guess I could always work out or paint or so, if I'm poor, you know what I mean? Like, but I literally ask if you've got no pot to piss in or whatever for a reason. Like, you don't need, you, like, what if you have nothing? You can't even do an art, or you can't even do a workout, or like a cooking show, or I don't know what people want to do, or like playing. In my case, I'm a guitar player, you know what I mean? So like, I couldn't play guitar because I don't have one, you know. That's why I asked that. And what you said, man, like, it's beautiful
to hear that. I tell you one thing, man. One thing put me in my frame of mindset. There was once this kid, and his name was Saul, and he became a king at a young age. And God asked them, what did you want? And whatever you want, I give you. Instead of him asking for diamonds and gold and rubies and pearls, he asked for an understanding heart that he can lead those people. And God gave him everything and that much more.
Yes. Yes. Awesome. Yeah, so go ahead. Continue about Saul and how and what he was asking God for.
Man, it's two people. First is Saul and then it's Job, right? And Saul was a young boy, man. He was really, like, I don't even know if he had to make it to be a teenager, you know? And he was actually a servant in the church. And for some apparent reason, he was anointed to be king, become king at a young boy's age. And when he did, God came to him in a dream or came to him and said, Saul, tell me what you want, and whatever you want, I'll give to you. And Saul, instead of him asking for gold and money and fame and power, he said, God, give me an understanding heart so I can lead the people. And after he asked that, God blessed him so much that he became the richest man in the world. And all the kings and queens came from over just to meet him and give him gifts.
Yes. Amen. So,
you know, and then going back into just another little part, it was Job. Job was a very wealthy man. But the devil was able to take everything away that Job had. And when Job was laying on his back in sores, he said, I'm going to still roll with God and I'm going to still praise him. So no matter if you're rich or no matter if you're poor, if you don't praise God, I think you got a zip on your lip, you know?
Yeah, man. That's right. And then, like, that's funny you say that because, like, I don't know why recently I've been having sleep paralysis and you know, I personally think just from what I feel about it is it's like a spiritual battle. And every time I have it, I pray to Jesus and it's the only thing that wakes me up out of it. The only thing. And I don't know if you've ever had sleep paralysis or anything, but with the whole zipper in the mouth, I feel like I can't even talk sometimes, but even thinking of the name of Yeshua, it literally wakes me up immediately being in sleep paralysis because it is a spiritual phenomena that you can't move and you feel scared like there's a monster, a literal demon creature coming to get you. And it's almost like because you know God said we have a seal of God in our forehead. It's a seal, not a mark.
Yeah.
It's a seal.
Yeah.
Not the mark of the beast. And that seal that if you just think it, it overthrows the enemy. Even because I couldn't say it because my mouth was like, I couldn't even talk. And just thinking it overthrew that spirit. And I was able to wake up and fall back asleep.
So let me give you an insight and let me let you know that what it is. It is you have a witch that's riding your back. You can't move and you can't talk. It actually is a spirit that's actually riding you. And you get right what you're doing because that's the only thing that you come out of it. And you have to be very mindful when that happens because you have to listen. They have a prayer that's on YouTube and it's called spiritual house cleansing. You need to pray. You need to play it on your phone throughout the day and at night, and you won't have to happen to you again.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. No. Yes. I couldn't hear for a second, dude. That's literally why all the ancients prayed before they went to bed, like before they ate. That's why Paul said, meditate and pray on the Lord, right?
Right.
Because even before, just like you said, before you go to bed, before you sleep, like that gets those spirits out of all the houses in your body. And when you pray before you eat, for sure you should be thankful every time because you don't know where your next meal is going to come from. Whether it's your next one or it's your next 500 millionth meal or whatever it's going to be. But like they prayed before they ate because it digests better. It like calms your mind and meditate and pray. It calms everything and like lets everything digest even better in your body, going to the right spots. And you're not going to overeat. You're not going to, you know, be too into gluttony and everything. So are you still in Louisiana now?
I'm not in Louisiana, man. Right now, I'm in Texas. I'm in Houston, Texas. And it's great out here. It's great out here, man, besides the pandemic that's going on. But I want to touch on a point. I want to touch on a point before we go. My book, Field of Blood. A lot of people don't know where that title comes from. That title comes from vibe of the show. A lot of people, when they my style, they think it may be some gang. Just feel a listening for that. The feel of blood actually comes from the battle of Julius Crazy. The third piece of silver that they gave him to actually rat on Jesus and tell him what he was, they buried that money in a field of blood, is what they call it, where the Gentiles is buried.
Wait, okay, so the phone broke up a bit. Say that again, of how I just want people to hear that clearer. Which book in the Bible is it?
The book in the Bible is 9 times out of 10 is in the King James Version, the New King James Version. And when Judas betrayed Jesus, which he was Jesus' friend and of course a disciple, he took 30 pieces of silver to tell them what Jesus was, and he thought they just wanted to talk to him. But when he found out that they was going to crucify him, he brought the 30 pieces of silver back to the church, the Pharisees and Sadducees. But they could not put it in their treasury because it was blood on the money. And the leader of the Pharisees and Sadducees told them to go bury it in a field of blood, which they bought with that money.
Wow. Yes. Dude, that's I love that title. And I love how you're doing that, because obviously, you know, we're all somehow just chained by this mentality of the world, right? And literally, Paul said, I'm chained to Jesus. That's who I'm chained to, where he's not even a part of this. It's like your anchor is that you're bonded to him instead of anything in this world. And like anything that's of this world, the worldly mentality, the system, the satanic system that we're all living in. That's awesome. You know what? I'm definitely going to get your book and check it out, because I love reading powerful books like this that have a message of life in them, coming from somebody that, you know what I mean? Because, I mean, however you want to look at it, like, one man's ceiling is another man's floor, right? We've all been through something, whether or not we know how actually bad it is. You know what I mean? Like, some people might be, they think they're on the floor, they've been the lowest in their life, but they're actually on like the 57th floor of the W Hotel. You know what I mean?
They don't understand it.
Yeah, they don't even understand.
That's how I feel. Not to cut you off, that's how I feel right now, man. My life is so good, and God bless me with such a great life. But going through the transformation that I'm going through, I feel like I'm on the floor, man. But through my eyes, I can see that I'm in a penthouse. It's crazy, man. But let me tell you something about Paul. Sometimes I feel, you know, some of these people are inside me. A lot of people don't know why Paul was chained to Jesus. I'm going to tell you why. Because his name was Saul at the beginning. And he worked for the Romans. And he used to go out to literally kill Christians. And he was on his way out after he got another order to go and kill Christians. After Jesus Christ was crucified, he was riding on a horse with some other men. And a bright light came down and blinded him. Literally blinded him, and he can hear the voice. And he said, "Who is that I hear?" And the man said, "It's Jesus, the one." And Jesus told him what to do and where to go to get his sight back. And he did it, and he got his sight back. And at that point, he changed his name from Saul to Paul.
Yes, dude. And that story—that's literally why the expression. You ever hear the expression "I see with blinding sight"? That's literally, in my opinion, that's where that came from. Because he literally performed more of a 180 than James, Jesus' brother, did. You know what I mean? All his family was like, "Oh, that's only Jesus. Like, it's their younger brother or their brother. Oh, it's only Jesus. You know, he's nothing." But then when it all happened, they're like, "Oh, wow, what? He really wasn't?" And then, but like, Paul's transformation was definitely one of the biggest ones. And it's just so powerful when you see it and it happens to you. It makes all of life better, and you're living proof of that. And like, I just want to say, like, I'd love that. That's cool. You're in Houston, because Houston's such a fun city. I was living in Austin for about 2 years. I played guitar for a church out there in their worship service, and like that was like a big. I just heard a call to go to Texas. And as soon as I got there, I don't know, like, I felt God needed me to be there to understand a lot more of what he wants and his word, and to just just talk about it even more. You know what I mean? Like, all we can do, if we have nothing, is to talk about the word, and that literally blesses everyone. And you know what? That's infinite for us. So what do you do in Houston now? What do you got going on?
Right now, man, I'm pushing in my book, Field of Blood, which is all in Field of Blood by Clifford Gwala Evans, and it's on all platforms. It's on Amazon, it's on eBooks, it's on Barnes & Nobles. It's in every bookstore that you could possibly think of. And we're going to get it into the libraries. We're pushing this book so much and so hard, and really it's only the beginning. It's part one. Not only that I'm doing that, I also have my own TV show that I produced that airs on Afrocentric TV, which is channel 15.8, Houston's local station. It airs every Saturday at 12:30 p.m. noon, and it airs every Monday at 6 p.m. on channel 15.8. And this TV show actually interviews entrepreneurs upcoming as doing things in the communities in America, which major media platforms say all it is killers, drug dealers, dope dealers, and soldiers. We're showing them something different.
Yeah, so that's awesome. You're trying to bring people up, and you know what I mean, like towards God instead of fallen. Like, yeah, come, you know what I mean? Like, I talk about it on the podcast all the time. I'm trying not to drink anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to grow as a person. I don't watch porn as, you know, as much. I'm trying to, okay, sometimes, you know.
Oh, you're going to make me relapse. You're going to make me relapse.
Like, I'm trying my best. You know what I mean? You know, sometimes, you know, you get lonely. I'm a single guy for like 8 years, but you know, I'm still, it's better to go away than the towards. Right. So what I'm trying to say is at least try to do the better thing rather than the worst. You know what I mean? Instead of going downtown, instead of going downtown, maybe let's start going like upwards spiritually. You know what I mean? Like, northward, towards God, just a little bit. I get it. Sometimes, you know, you see something walking around, you're a single guy, you trip, you know. Oh, man. There's a lot of beautiful girls.
I don't think you should read my book, because if you read my book, you're going to be reading porn. You'll love our cities. You'll love chapter 21. Oh, my gosh.
Dude, I got to check it out. I mean, you know what? I'm going to purchase it today, when we get off the phone here. I'm going to do it because you have a hard copy, right?
Yes, we have paperback copies. We are going for $19.95, and we have the ebook copy that's going for $9.99. If any of the listeners want to find this book, all you have to do is go to my social media, my Instagram, and it's Gwala Music, and that's GWALLAMUSIC, one word. And the link is in the bio. If you read this book, it'll blow your mind and change your life. Don't think twice. Just get it.
Dude, and so how's Houston right now with the whole – are you guys still shut down? Are you guys kind of open right now? Can you go to a restaurant now? Or?
Man, I'll tell you this, right? Coronavirus is not something that just happened. Coronavirus has been planned for over a decade, I believe. And it's 2020 for it to hit now. And Houston is one of the biggest cities, largest cities in America, and actually the largest state in the country. Now, when I tell you this, Houston is going to be the most hurt city that's by it. Yes, it opened back up, but now it's actually about to shut back down because in one day they had over 5,000 new cases just in Houston, Texas itself. So people are very getting themselves right, but I will want to tell you this. I believe the virus is not a virus and it's not contagious. It comes from the G5. In Houston, Texas right now, all the G5 towers, in Houston, Texas, all the G5 towers is around the 610 loop, right? In the 610 loop, inside the 610 loop is minorities that live inside that loop. And it's just a real deep story. I'm not going to get too deep into
that. No, go into this, because we just had Bishop Larry Gators on our show last week. I don't know if you ever follow him on Twitter or on YouTube or anything. Bishop Larry Gators, G-A-I-T-E-R-S. he goes into literally last week. He check out our last episode last week where he goes into where COVID 1 through 19, well, 1 through 18 were made, manufactured, literally made, and then 19 was how it was made and how it was rolled out and everything. He didn't really get into the 5G, but I've read some stuff about why it's coincidentally near the 5G towers too. And hey, dude, I'm all for it. Like, I go down every rabbit hole. You know why I go down the rabbit hole? Because I'll tell you why. Because everybody tries to talk crap when people go down rabbit hole. I like going down rabbit holes.
Maybe because rabbits fuck fast.
Because they what?
Maybe because rabbits fuck fast.
I hate this service that we have right now. Because all the rabbit holes converge into one. That's why. All you got to do is pick one. If you pick one rabbit hole and take it all the way down, it literally goes to Satan or God. You know what I mean? Like, which usually is downwards, so it's going to Satan, and that's where you find out, wow, evil does exist, and then you go to God. You know what I mean? So just pick one. That's all I tell people.
I'll tell you this, right? So I'll tell you this. It's really a big pandemic of what's going on, man. If you really look deep down into it, man, it really goes deep. It's like this, right? Do you notice that whenever you go into, I'm not on no racist stuff. I'm not about races. I support no races. I don't care what color you is. If you're black and you're racist, I don't mess with you. If you're Caucasian racist, I don't mess with you. If you're Chinese and racist, I don't mess with you, right? So let me tell you, it's like this, right? Black African-American is like on some Mexican stuff. We're having so many babies and we're growing in population, so it's crazy. So how are you going to stop that? Because when you have more blacks than you have other races, who is going to take control? That's why China has so much power, because their population is so high.
Right.
So when you go into a race like that and you see who is being affected by this virus and you see where the 5G towers are, it's self-explanatory. If you go to a Trump rally, you're not going to see him wearing masks. If you go to the Cancun's, you're not going to see him wearing masks. If you go to Russia, you're not going to see him wearing masks. But go into the hood and go into the urban areas. Everybody has to wear masks. And the masks is just... The masks are just something to mess with your mind. Listen, this is what masks do. Masks... You can't breathe as well, right? And that's what the government is trying to do with the New World Order. They're trying to take away our freedom. The kids can't go to school. You can't go to work. You got to work from home. But while y'all at home and stuck in the houses, we're going to do everything that we want to do in the streets so y'all can't
stop. Yes, and you know what? And they also tell you, you're essential, but you're not essential. They're going to tell us who's essential, who's not essential. When I say, hey, let's just be all do what we want to do. You know what I mean? Like, the whole point of Satan is to enslave. He always wants to enslave. When you go to God, God always wants free. It's so simple. I don't understand why people can't see that. You know what I mean? Like,
you can
believe whatever you want. You know what I mean?
Let me tell you something.
Go ahead.
Let me break something down to you right quick, and I want you to really just try to understand this, right? Let me tell you how great God is and how amazing he is. If anybody doesn't believe in God and how wonderful and great and gracious he is and how considerate he is, Satan was once an angel that was over music in the heaven, in the kingdom. Okay, he was jealous of God, and he decided that he wanted everything that God has. In other words, he wanted to run the kingdom. Well, God is such a great God that he kicked them out from heaven and gave them a kingdom, which is this world that he rules in on. What type of God would do that to give somebody their own kingdom, which is hell, that he was burning, but it's still his kingdom?
Exactly. That's right. And people don't even understand that. We can all have the kingdom of God here. In, like, literally, however you look at it, you can all... We can all access God. We don't need middlemen telling us, well, this is how you read this is what you know what I mean? All the for me, God's word is so powerful that, you know, I've read all a lot of the occult stuff and the texts aren't in the Bible. The Book of Enoch, Yasher,
all those the Book of Giants and all that, and they all still point literally. When you read all the occult stuff, that's why the devil, I think, wanted to hide it, because when you read, if you read everything, it's all clear as day that God is real.
It's clear as day.
Yeah,
it's clear as day. And the book of Enoch is actually true. They're still here. Why do you think the book of Enoch is taken from the Bible? Because the devil didn't want the people to know it.
Yep.
This King James took it from out the Bible.
Yes, and that's what I mean. The devil tried to, because Jesus said anyone that pulls from this, that would add to their punishments in hell. And I think that stuff was pulled out from the ultimate word of what it was. But God's word is so strong that the King James Version is, you know, yeah, it is not everything's in it. But if you read it really, really slow, and I'm saying like why the angel Gabriel told John to eat the words and it became bitter in his stomach. If you read it so slow, you can still pull out of there the fallen angels that came to earth and they saw how hot our women were, because I'll tell you what, the original women from Eve were probably so much hot, you know what I mean? And men too, you know what I mean? Like, we're probably like, what? Just like,
man, you know, Eve had to be fine. I mean, come on,
yeah,
let's keep it real.
Right?
let's keep it real, man. Eve had to be fine and beautiful as I'm. She was so fine, I probably would have ate the apple too, man. I was just saying.
Well, no, that's why I say this all the time. That's why Adam ate the apple. He was never deceived. He wasn't deceived by the serpent. He ate the apple. That's why they call it falling in love, because he loved Eve so much that he was like, that she died. And it would be like saying you lost a job, or your wife lost a job, and she's poor, or something happened to her that she like suffered so much and could never be the same. And the husband would be like, you know what? Give me that. And it's like this poison apple. We're going through it together. I love you. And bite the apple. And he died too, because that's how either hot she was, I don't know, but, or probably he loved her so much that he bit the apple to be with her in hell, in this fallen reality system matrix that we live in.
Man, I tell you this right now. Life and death lies in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Whoever is listening to or will listen to this interview will buy my book, and it will know where to find that. And when they buy that book, it's going to
Wait, I gotta interrupt you. Can you get into a better area? Because again, I think it's our phone is okay, but your phone's breaking up. I don't know if
can you hear me now?
Okay, dude. So start back over why to buy your book, because we lost you.
Life and death lies in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Therefore, I confess, declare, and decree by the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit that whosoever listening to this interview will buy my book off my Instagram, Guava Music, GWAILA. Guess what? When they read this book, they're going to either turn into some bone fruit, they're going to turn into some knowledge, and they're going to turn into the kingdom of God, man. And that's what we're shooting for, to give them a message from God, man.
God bless. Dude, that's amazing. And I love how just how your spirit is and what you stand for. I'm right there with you. And honestly, we got to do this again. I would like to set up, like, let's do it for like, I'm saying, an hour and a half at least. I just want to dig into all this with you. And let's set up another interview, because we're literally on the road now, but so we can get Wi-Fi and everything and have a better setup. And before I wrap things up right now, obviously I can already discern where you're coming from here. Before we wrap it up, what I always ask our guests, what can you leave with our audience, with our viewers and listeners and everything? What can you leave with them to put in their pocket that they can take out maybe a couple years from now to remember, like to plant a seed of something in their heart, in their mind, in their spirit, in their soul, for them to take with them? But what's one thing you could say?
What I'll say is this right here, and I'll copyright it when I say it. If you're ever going through any problems in your life, always remember, that after and before every dark night is a bright and shining day. Kuala Music.
Yes. Yes, sir. Amen. Dude, Gil, go ahead, Case.
Awesome, man. Thank you. Thank you again, man, for doing this. And we will set up another interview when we have better Wi-Fi service. And maybe we can get you on video next time as well. And, yeah, just tell everyone where they can find you one more time. Are you on Twitter, Instagram? Do you have a website? All that stuff.
Definitely, man. My name is Gwala. Of course, you can find me on Facebook. It's Gwala Gwala. That's G-W-A-L-L-A, a space, then G-W-A-L-L-A. You can also find me on Instagram at Gwala Music. That's at G-W-A-L-L-A-M-U-S-I-C. And if you want to reach out to me for business, you can always book me at gwalamusicbooking@gmail.com. That's gwalamusicbooking@gmail.com. And guess what? We could get a bag together, man. Thank you.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much for doing this, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah,
I love you too, man. You guys are actually a great team. I like how you stay quiet and talk at the end. You do a lot of listening. Man, y'all got to stay a great team, man. I'm telling you, y'all going far. Believe that.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. Dude, we appreciate it, man.
You too, man, because I love talking this stuff, and I love when I meet people that also excite me about getting closer with God, and you definitely did that too, and I hope that I could do it somehow for you too. And we're going to set up another one, a longer one, where we just go deep down. I mean, I want to get into it and tell people about this stuff and learn some stuff from you too. So thank you so much.
Definitely, man. Y'all take care. Listen, get that book, man. If you read it, I'm telling you, you have some questions that you ask that I'll be happy to answer.
Awesome, for sure.
Man. Y'all take care, man. Love y'all. Peace.